CD 4.
He looked at the door locker. It was black and horrible, but that didn't matter because it was so tied up that it couldn't be used. Beside it, with all the signs of being installed recently by someone who didn't know what they were doing and didn't want to do it, was a button set into the splintered woodwork. Rincewind gave it an experimental prod. The sound it produced might once have been a popular tune, possibly even one written by a skilled composer to whom had been vouchsafed for a brief, ecstatic moment, the music of the spheres. Now, however, it just went bing-bong, ding-dong. And it would be a lazy use of language to say that the thing that answered the door was a nightmare. Nightmares are usually rather daft things, and it's very hard to explain to a listener what was so dreadful about your socks coming alive, or giant carrots jumping out of the hedgerows. This thing was the kind of terrifying thing that could only be created by someone sitting down and thinking horrible thoughts very clearly. It had more tentacles than legs, but fewer arms than heads. It also had a badge. The badge said, "My name is Urgle Flogger, spawn of the pit and loathly guardian of the dread portal. How may I help you?" It was not very happy about this.
"Yes," it rasped.
Rincewind was still reading the badge.
"How may you help us?" he said, aghast.
Urgle Flogger, who bore a certain resemblance to the late Quezova Coatl, ground some of its teeth.
"Hi there,"
it intoned, in the manner of one who has had the script patiently explained to him by someone with a red-hot branding iron.
"My name is Urgle Flogger, spawn of the pit, and I am your host for today. May I be the first to welcome you to our luxuriously appointed..."
"Hang on a moment," said Rincewind.
"Chosen for your convenience," Urgle Flogger rumbled.
"There's something not quite right here," said Rincewind.
"Full regard for the wishes of you, the consumer," the demon continued stoically.
"Excuse me," said Rincewind.
"As pleasurable as possible," said Urgle Flogger.
It made a noise like a sigh of relief from somewhere deep in its mandibles. Now it appeared to be listening for the first time.
"Yes, what?"
it said.
"Where are we?" said Rincewind.
Various mouths beamed.
"Quail, mortals!"
"What? We're in a bird?"
"Grovel and cower, mortals," the demon corrected itself, "for you are condemned to everlast..."
It paused and gave a little whimper.
"There will be a period of corrective therapy," it corrected itself again, spitting out each word, "which we hope to make as instructive and enjoyable as possible, with due regard to all the rights of you, the customer."
It eyed Rincewind with several eyes.
"Dreadful, isn't it?" it said in a more normal voice. "Don't blame me. If it was up to me, it would be the old burning thing is up the what's-it toot sweet."
"This is hell, isn't it?" said Eric. "I've seen pictures."
"You're right there," said the demon mournfully.
It sat down, or at least folded itself in some complicated way.
"Personal service, that's what it used to be. People used to feel that we were taking an interest, that they weren't just numbers, but, well, victims. We had a tradition of service. Fat lot he cares. But what am I telling you my troubles for? It's not as if you haven't got plenty of your own, what with being dead and being here. You're not musicians, are you?"
"Actually, we're not even..."
Rincewind began. The demon ignored him, but got up and began to plod ponderously down the dank corridor, beckoning them to follow.
"You'd really hate it here if you was musicians. Hate it more, I mean. The walls play music all day long. Well, he calls it music. I've got nothing against a good tune, mark you. Something to scream along with, but this isn't it. I mean, I heard where we're supposed to have all the best tunes. So why have we got all this stuff that sounds like someone turned on the piano and then walked away and left it?"
"In point of fact..."
"And then there's the potted plants. Don't get me wrong. I like to see a bit of green around the place. Only some of the lads says these plants aren't real, but what I say is they must be. No one..."